for most of us, there was usually one grown-up that we knew, whether it was a parent or an uncle or a friend of the family, who almost never said anything original, okay? They would continually recite old sayings, proverbs, quotes, whatever came into their mind based on whatever was going on at the time. I guess they thought it made them appear wise. For me, it was Mr. Kaufman. He was a friend of my father's, you know. The problem was the rest of us who were on the receiving end of these pearls of wisdom, especially us kids, frequently had absolutely no idea what they were talking about. You know, they'd sprout these things. I mean, the golden rule was easy enough. I could get that one, you know, if they told me that one. But then it got a little more complicated, and they'd start saying things like, you know, a nod is as good as a wink to a blind man. And you go, what? Or, you know, or... A wet bird never flies at night. And you go, all right. And the one hand clapping thing, I never got that as a kid. I couldn't, you know. But as we got older, we began to realize that these short, pithy little sayings had a lot of good stuff in them, ranging from folk wisdom to business sense to advice on marriage and relationships or money and even wisdom about spiritual things and how to live a better life. Now, a lot of these sayings came from the Bible or the Talmud or the Quran or many of the sacred writings or other spiritual books. Some of them came from some of the non-religious teachers like Benjamin Franklin. He had a bunch, or Ralph Waldo Emerson or Mark Twain, any of those authors. And some of them actually came from authors that we may never have heard of. So this morning I picked one of those sayings that I want to talk about. And that saying is, to err is human, to forgive divine. Now, how many people have heard that saying here? Virtually everybody. How many of you know where it came from? All right, one, two. That's two more than we had in the first service. That's pretty good, you know. A lot of people think that it came from the Bible, but it actually came from a very well-known English poet in the 1700s by the name of Alexander Pope. And there's no question it's a beautiful and powerful piece of spiritual wisdom. And it means, and it's so simple as so many of these beautiful statements are, which is why they're so powerful, it means quite simply that we all make mistakes and that when we forgive others, we are being godlike. We are being divine. That's what it means, very, very simple. But the way a lot of the world misinterprets this simple but profound statement, and the world frequently misinterprets these things, is that there are some things in the world that only people who are really, really spiritual are strong enough to forgive. And that's a very different interpretation. For example, when Mahatma Gandhi was assassinated in 1948, the last thing he did as he was dying right there, as he was shot, was he put his hands together in the sign of forgiveness and extended that sign of forgiveness to the man who had shot him. And we all know the story in the New Testament during the crucifixion when we are told that the teacher Jesus said out loud, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. Now, as amazing as this behavior was, especially under such severe circumstances, it wasn't all that surprising because these were two extremely evolved spiritual beings, and that is what we would expect them to do. That's what they taught us. But I don't think most of us realize what was actually happening when they did what they did. You see, in both cases, these spiritual masters were not just forgiving what was being done to them. That would have been good, but it was more than that. That was just a small part of it. You see, they knew because of their awareness of what God was and what they were and how the world worked that what was happening to them, as terrible as it may have seemed on the surface, wasn't all that important in the big scheme of things. They were not attached to life at all. Instead, what they were doing is they were showing their understanding of the ignorance, the mental and spiritual confusion, and the lack of spiritual awareness that caused those other individuals to do to another human being what they were doing to them. And in the process of demonstrating this understanding, these great teachers showed us by their example, which is the best way to show anything, that they understood the greater truth that surrounded the events that were happening to them. Because they knew that by forgiving their so-called enemies, and they know that we don't have any enemies, they knew that by forgiving them, they were actually releasing themselves from the anger, the blame, and the resentment that they might otherwise have felt, which would have gotten in the way of their own spiritual evolution to a higher plane. In other words, they knew that the act of forgiveness really was a divine experience, especially for the one doing the forgiving. Now, as for the rest of us, even though we know that forgiveness seems to have very positive results, even on those rare occasions when we practice it, honestly, sincerely, and completely, a lot of us mere mortals seem to spend a large percentage of our time in the traditional eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth school of personal relationships, which is one major reason why right now there are wars being fought all over the place on every continent involving every race and almost every religion, even as we speak. A lot of people seem to have forgotten that other saying, the one that says we can only reap what we sow. That one did happen to come from the Bible. I mean, it's very interesting. Even though we know, I mean, all of us know this, without a doubt, that forgiveness is one of the noblest of all human characteristics. I mean, we celebrate it in songs and stories. We honor people who are able to practice it. We teach it to our children and tell them that it's important. But at the same time, here in what we call the real world, the world of going to work, the world of driving on 285, the world of getting along with our neighbors and this kind of thing, we still insist on believing that there are certain events or certain undesirable individuals running around who desperately deserve some sort of righteous punishment for something that they have done, whether it was done to us or whether we read about it in the paper. We would never consider letting some people get away with some of the things they do because we seem to think if someone doesn't make sure that these people are justly punished, then they just might keep on doing bad things to good people, and God knows we cannot let that happen. That's why frequently whenever we get hit, we immediately hit back. When someone intrudes on our space, as in cutting us off in traffic, without looking, we very nicely try to get ahead and cut them off. You know, we pull those. We're very passive, subtly aggressive, passively aggressive. Someone insults us, we insult them, but we do it nicely, like bless their heart. You know, that Southern thing, you know. On the international level, they throw a hand grenade, we drop a bomb, you know. We got to keep things even here. Oh, sure, it would be nice to take the high road, we say, but you know how it is. If you let people push you around all the time, you never know where it's going to end. And that, you see, is the problem. Because if we don't stop automatically judging and criticizing and punishing one another and start forgiving each other pretty soon, if not for behaviors, at least for the ignorance leading to the behavior, then the conflicts that we have, whether it's on a personal level, a social level, or an international level, are not going to end. That's why we need to get very clear about what it is that forgiveness gives us. So let's talk about that for a minute. First of all, we talk about it a lot, but what do we really know about this quality that we call forgiveness? I mean, most people think it's pretty straightforward, but there's a lot more to it than we think. For one thing, whether we articulate it this way or not, forgiveness is the most important single thing that we can do to bring peace to our soul, to bring harmony into our life, and to allow us to focus on love as the only power that can heal all things. That's first. It's also something that is much easier to talk about than it is to do. So the act of forgiveness and learning how to do it correctly is actually an ongoing process with many different stages, and it becomes easier the more we practice it. We all know that too. True forgiveness requires us to do certain things and at the same time to stop doing other things. For example, it requires us to start hugging and stop hitting. And to practice it effectively, it requires a deep spiritual understanding, not only of what the nature of God is, but what our true nature is and the true nature of every other person in the world. Why? Because when I realize at a deep enough level that I and my brother and my sister of whatever nationality, whatever color, size, shape, whatever it is, are the same at the deepest, most fundamental spiritual level, at the God level, if you want to call it that, then it's a lot easier for me to be patient and understanding and tolerant when people do bad or foolish things, just like we should be more tolerant and patient towards ourselves when we do something foolish. Which brings up a good point. The hardest thing for most of us to do in terms of forgiveness, the hardest person for us to forgive is whom? What do you think? Ourselves, sure. Now, why is that? I mean, it doesn't make any sense. And I think it is because the traditional teachings that most of us grew up in taught us that only God can forgive. That's why guilt and shame are two of the major byproducts of most organized religion. It really, really is. We can't forgive ourselves, we are told. We have to ask God to do it for us. So there's a sense of separation. So when we focus our mental and emotional energy on some bad behavior from our past, and we aren't able to forgive ourselves for it, it seems to grow in importance. It seems to get bigger than it really was. We may even start to blame our present problems and our present difficulties in life on something that happened because of us or something we did a long, long time ago. Now, some of these were things we shouldn't have done, like hurt someone out of anger or spite. Some of them were things that we did without knowing any better. But sometimes we even feel guilty. Sometimes we even feel like we need forgiveness when we didn't do anything wrong at all. Like someone who grew up being different from the people around them. Or someone who was maybe abused as a child and told at the time that it was their fault. And it's very, very sad when that happens. But some people go through an entire lifetime and they never manage to get over it. They can't forgive themselves and they're ashamed to seek forgiveness from an angry God because that's the kind of God they learn to believe in. Now, not only is this emotionally and spiritually damaging, it can be physically damaging too. Psychiatrists tell us, all the researchers tell us, that guilt and shame are toxic, that they will affect us and affect our health more than any other physical emotions. When we can't forgive ourselves for what we believe are our past mistakes, even though the reasons for why may vary, the effect is always the same. And the effect is, quite simply, that we don't ever feel that we are good enough. If we don't forgive ourselves, we don't feel that we're good enough. That means we don't feel like we're good enough to love or to be loved. We don't feel good enough about ourselves that we're able to succeed. We're not good enough to prosper, and we're not good enough to be healed. So it affects every single part of our life. And when we don't feel like we are good enough, we often don't believe that anyone else is good enough either. That's why people who are the most insecure are usually the most judgmental. We see it all the time. They believe that only God can forgive, and their God is a God of righteousness who does not forgive easily or often. In fact, they believe we have to beg God for forgiveness because none of us really deserves it. They say that all the time, and that, of course, is pure nonsense. What we need to realize, to understand about this power that created us and lives through us, is that God or Spirit, which is this loving, creative, ever-present power, is always forgiving us. We are automatically forgiven, but we can't accept that forgiveness until we forgive ourselves. And we can't forgive ourselves, this is the hard part, until we completely forgive others. What others? All others. People close to us, people we don't even know, people we read about in the paper, people who did the worst possible things to us, all others. That's why we are told in many of the sacred texts, forgive and you will be forgiven. That doesn't mean we will be forgiven by God. When we forgive, we will be forgiven by ourselves. That's where it needs to happen. You see, when we make the decision to completely cleanse our mind and our heart until there's nothing in us that condemns, criticizes, or judges other people, once we get to that point, then we won't have anything left inside to condemn ourselves, That's when we feel open and free. That's when we unblock the flow. That's when we open ourselves to that stream of life and love that is always flowing to us and through us out into the world. In fact, that's the only way that the love can get into the world through us. Jesus knew this and he taught it. Gandhi knew it. Mother Teresa knew it. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. knew it. The list goes on and on. You see, when we give anything, we attract more of it into our life. Everybody read The Secret and all the books about the law of attraction beforehand. Money, love, and joy on the positive side, when we give it, we get more of it back. Anger, judgment, criticism on the negative side, when we give that, we get more of it back. Well, forgiveness works exactly the same way. When we give forgiveness freely, it returns to us multiplied abundantly. That's what we talk about here. Everything in the world moves in cycles. What we give comes back. Whatever we refuse to give, we automatically refuse to accept because we stop the cycle. But we have to be the ones to make that decision. Other people can't do it for us. Not even God can make the decision for us whether we should or should not be forgiven. We are the only ones who can set ourselves free. Now let's talk for a minute about how to do this effectively. Because it may be a little confusing to hear that our decision to forgive someone else freely has nothing to do with them. But it's true. But it's true. We do not need their apology or their remorse to forgive them. Because forgiveness is something that takes place completely within us. Now, it may include some external act of some kind, some symbolic gesture, but it's basically something that takes place in what we call our divine center. And we know that this is true. We know that we can forgive someone without them apologizing because we have the ability to forgive someone who has done something to us and to feel better about that forgiveness, even if that person doesn't know that we have forgiven them. Have you ever forgiven someone and they didn't even know you forgave them? And you still felt better? We can even forgive people who have left our life many years ago, either moved out of our life or moved on to the next plane. That's what the word forgiving means. It has to be from the inside out. It's like a lamp that shines its light and doesn't care what it shines on. It's like the sun which shines on the just and the unjust, which is another one of those sayings. You know, what we are actually giving to someone when we forgive them unconditionally is freedom from judgment. That's what we're giving them. In other words, we stop judging some people and some events as good and others as bad. We allow them to be what they are and not allow other people's actions or opinions to define us or to affect us in any way. And when we do this, when we learn how to do this, we're recognizing that everything we have attracted into our life, including the things that other people did to us, everything has a purpose. And because the power that created us is a power of love that only supports us, the purpose of any experience that happens to us, no matter how bad or as it was, cannot possibly be to make us suffer or to require us to hurt another person to get even, because that wouldn't make any spiritual sense at all. So every experience that we go through in our life must be in our life in order to teach us something. And there's one thing it should always be teaching us, and that is how to love more. That's what every experience needs to teach. In the Course of Miracles, it says, forgiveness is the mental and spiritual action we must take that leads us on the path of love. All right? Now, a lot of people believe that when we forgive something, we are doing something for that person. But the truth is, when we truly forgive, we are doing something for ourselves. We're giving up things that we don't want in order to make room for things that we do want. We're giving up things like pain and anger and resentment and blame and fear so that we can make room for things like joy and peace and harmony and love. So when we freely forgive someone their trespasses without any conditions attached, it doesn't make us into a saint, but it does set us free, which is really a valuable gift. It raises our consciousness. It actually strengthens our spiritual awareness. And it is this increased level of spiritual awareness that allows us to get more out of life because we're not caught up in all those useless negative emotions that drag our energy and our attention back into the past. Now, the worst of these emotions, these negative emotions, the one that only forgiveness can wipe away is resentment. Resentment is the worst. Raymond Charles Barker has a chapter in one of his books. It is Resentment is Ruin. It's a great statement, okay? You see, resentment is a very powerful, slow-acting poison, all right? When we are carrying resentment, it's like injecting a poison directly into a vein. The Buddha talked about it a lot. He told his students that resentment is like picking up a hot, burning coal, looking to throw it at someone who insulted us, who hurt us. When we pick up that coal, it burns us first and worst, before we even throw it at anyone. And that's a great analogy. I also heard someone say, I like this, that resentment was like stabbing ourselves trying to make someone else bleed. It's a good statement. But what about justice, some people may ask? What about someone who does something like abuse a child, commit genocide, murders someone in a senseless act of violence? Not only that, what about someone who does this over and over? Or they do it, they get away with it, and they do it again. And that's a valid and legitimate question. It is perfectly normal to feel outrage when these kind of things happen. But no matter how good or righteous it feels, we must not stay in that place. We cannot stay in that state of consciousness. When we hold on to anger and resentment that we feel towards our former partner or spouse or somebody who done us wrong, whatever it happens to be, when we hold on to the resentment towards an alcoholic parent who wasn't there for us or a drunk driver who injured us or our child or whatever, if we hold on to this over the long term, it only hurts us. There are too many people who would rather be right than happy. All right, and we need to get over that. Sure, these people need to be accountable. Sure, it needs to be handled so they don't do it again. But if we meet anger with anger and our focus is on getting even or maintaining our space, whatever it is, all we do is extend the damage created by the original act. That's why true forgiveness is the only intelligent solution. Now, I've got a story to tell you. It's a brief story. I got it from Michael Beckwith a while back at a seminar I was at with him. And it's about a man in East L.A. several years ago whose son was murdered by a gang member. And it was just a random, senseless, unnecessary murder. The man's son was a good kid. He was working his way through school. He wasn't involved with gangs or drugs. He had a good chance for a bright future. He was just going to work. And when the trial was held for the young man who killed him, the young man was only 14 or 15 years old, the young boy who committed the murder, the DA decided to ask for the death penalty. Now, up to this point, it's like any other story we hear in Miami or New York or any place else. But something happened here that made this story very different. The man whose son had been killed stood up and asked not only that the death penalty not be imposed, he also asked that the young man be put into his parental custody for him to raise this boy as a parent. He said that his son was gone and nothing would bring him back, but he also said there was no reason for three lives to be ruined by this one act, his and the lives of the two boys. Instead, he said that he would work to turn this boy's life around in hopes that there would be some positive outcome. And over the next few years, true story, he did that. The young man lived with him. He raised him as his son. The boy finished school, and he actually created a productive life for himself. That's what it means. Father, forgive him. He doesn't know what he's doing. Now, I'm not sure I could be that generous if it happened to my son, okay? And maybe none of us knows if we can be like that unless we're faced with that kind of a situation. Some of you may even think it was a big mistake, that the boy should have been locked away and the man shouldn't have done it. But if we allow ourselves to detach and look at this situation from a loving, open space, we have to recognize that in this case, the outcome was far better than what would have happened if things had proceeded in the normal way. So the lesson is, the brief lesson is, there's always a better way to look at things, whatever happens around us. If we look at it from a perspective of anger or revenge, then we will respond in a way that only creates more and more problems in the world. But if we make our responses based on love and respect, by thinking about those things before we happen to run into these situations, then we'll start to create a world of people who will work together instead of against each other. I mean, the truth is we all make mistakes. We all do things and have done things in our life that we wish we hadn't done. But if we can reach the point, as we talk about in this teaching, where we accept complete responsibility for our own mistakes, maybe then we can stop blaming other people for our problems. Maybe we can stop blaming other people for whatever part they played as we created our own experience. I mean, it's the easiest thing in the world to go through life and collect a list of grievances that we can blame our problems on. It's like collecting a bunch of rocks and putting them in a bag and carrying it around with us. The longer we carry it and the more rocks we put in it, the slower we're going to get. We can all look back on past memories that we can nurse, curse, or rehearse. I think I heard that somewhere before, you know? But it's only the human part of us. It's only the ego part of us that wants to hang on to the old insults and injuries. The soul, the divine part of us, always wants to grow and evolve. And our soul knows that we cannot grow when our roots are grounded in the past. Now, forgiveness is not always easy, and it's not always logical, but it's always the right choice, and it's always possible. Every time that we make the conscious choice to forgive, we increase our ability to love. And increasing our ability to love only makes our life that much better. That is the gift, the true gift, that forgiveness gives us. And that's a gift that we need to be giving to each other a whole lot more if we have any desire to live in a world that looks and feels better than the one we're living in now. And I think it's time, don't you? All right. This is the truth in your life, and this is the truth in mine. And so it is. And so it is. Thank you. Thank you. All right, let's take a few moments. Take a breath or two, relax. Take the ideas that resonated with you. I give them to you freely. Set aside the others for later. Whatever thoughts came up in your mind are the perfect thoughts. I recognize that Spirit is wherever I am and wherever you are and wherever anyone is. One Spirit, one life, one presence, in every form, in every single form. So I realize that whatever happens between two people is Spirit interacting with itself. So there is always a lesson, because Spirit doesn't do anything for no reason. So I recognize that when I see two people interact with love, when I see two people interacting with caring and compassion, that this is Spirit doing what it does so well. I also realize that when I see two people reacting together in violence or anger or hatred, that Spirit is still present. It is completely present in each person. It is simply waiting to be recognized. And at the instant that either of these parties recognizes that presence in the other, things begin to change. So I recognize that the power of forgiveness, the power to see this presence of Spirit in every person, everywhere, in every action, gives me the power to transform my relationships and to transform all the relationships that exist in the world between people, family, cities, countries, and everyone in the world. And as I begin to see this, and you begin to see this, and we begin to act as the great examples, like our great teachers did, like the great spiritual masters who knew this truth and lived it, as we begin to live this example, we begin to transform those around us who see us and begin to live as their example, and on and on and on. This is the way we change the world. So I invite you to take a few moments now, and in the silence of your own heart and mind, this is what I want you to do. First of all, I want you to see yourself in the center of your mind's eye and forgive yourself with your whole heart and soul for anything and everything you may have ever done. And then with you, I want you to see one person in your life that you are finding it hardest to forgive. And see that person and you standing together, and surround both of them with the light and love and the recognition of their spirituality, the one Spirit, you and them, and offer this person forgiveness in your heart and mind. Take this silence for yourself. With gratitude for this awareness and a clear understanding of its sacred significance in our life, we accept this truth for ourselves. We accept the gift that forgiveness gives us. We accept all that we have been given and give thanks for all that we have yet to give. This is our truth. Knowing this, we release this awareness into consciousness, and as we release it, we embrace it, accept it, and allow it to be our truth from this moment on, and so it is.